Welcome back to Trot's Life, and it's time for a chat with Kelvin Barker, who has been a really good racehorse as a trainer and driver in his own right, and according to a couple, he's really just known as a stallion, but we'll flesh that out across this chat. Kelvin, firstly, mate, how are you and whereabouts are you today?
How you going, Toby? I'm in Ballarat at the moment. I'm actually driving a truck at the present.
Now, there's a lot of connections through your life back to Ballarat, and I think you grew up in Mount Gambier from what I can tell, but it felt like it was inevitable that you'd end up living in Ballarat.
I was actually born and bred in Britain and moved to Melbourne with my family.
Yeah.
After my father deceased, and then I eventually moved back to Hamilton with my uncle, and then went to Mount Gambier, and then things weren't too good in Savastro, stake money and races, so I said, well, if I'm going to stay in the industry, I've got to go somewhere else. So then I was in Ballarat for one weekend, and I said, well, Ballarat will do. That's how I came here 20 years ago. Yeah, okay.
So you touched on something there. Your father passed away. Did he pass away when you were young, did he?
Yeah, I was only four. Yeah, in a car accident at Backers Marsh. Yeah, okay.
So what got you into the horses? It's a famous name in Hamilton, Barker, and I think most people have always assumed you're related somehow.
Yeah, Jimmy's my uncle, Rodney's cousin, and the girls are Jackie and that are sort of second cousins, but I call them my nieces because I sort of grew up there.
Yeah.
But no, it must be just in my blood. My father trained gallopers with Jimmy early days, I think.
Yeah.
So it's sort of in your blood, you can't get it out.
So how old were you in the mid-80s when you started training a horse called Kel's Reward?
Kel's Reward, probably about 7. How do you know about that one?
He was your first Kel's horse. He was the first horse you trained in your name anyway.
I might have been 18, 17 or 18, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I had a car license. I don't think.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about that horse. But yeah. Anyway.
So you're 17 or 18. You're living in Mount Gambier, and what you got a horse stabled at someone's place, or how did you work the horses?
I was at back then when I had them sort of horses. I was at Hamilton with Jimmy Barker.
Yeah.
I was there, and I moved. I think I moved to Mount Gambier. In about 88, I just went over there for a weekend with some mates and that, and ended up staying over there, basically. So, yeah, started training horses over there, yeah.
I'll get to a horse from there in a moment or two, but 1986, in January, your first winner was a chestnut mare named Jesse's Title.
Yes, owned by Greg Burns, the footballer. I think that was the first horse he ever sent me. I used to know Greg, like just talk at the races when I was young.
Yeah.
And I think I drove a couple of horses for him. He rang me up one day, he said, do you want a horse to race in South Australia? And I said, yeah, I'll take it. And I think she might have won a first couple or something, I forget now. But yeah, a long time ago.
She won her first two for you, and she was the start of a fair few horses that you had with Greg Burns and ultimately end up having them with Damien. So it's been a long relationship, and I think this is one of the connections back to Ballarat.
Yeah, there was only a couple of people I knew in Ballarat, and that was Greg and Greg Burns and Greg Moy.
Yeah.
Because Greg was in South Australia for a little while with me, and then, yeah, probably they were the only two guys I knew in Ballarat, didn't know anyone else.
No,
that was good.
I was a little surprised. I'm great mates with Nathan Moy, as many people are in the industry. I was a little surprised to see Greg Moy driving winners for you at Mount Gambier in the late 80s and early 90s. So what was Greg like as a driver?
Yeah, no, Greg drove all right. He was all right. Like as all, probably the more you go around, the better you were. But no, Greg, yeah, we trained, we were probably trained a team of horses together for about 2 or 3 years, I suppose, and then Greg moved back to Victoria.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and I was sort of on my own over there then. But, yeah, no, we were there for a couple of years, I suppose. Yeah, no, very good. Yeah, good bloke.
Yeah.
Good family. I was there with Nathan. Was born, only born. Nathan was born. I probably held him when he was a day old. Don't tell him that.
Oh, that might explain a few things anyway.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You met a girl in South Australia named Helen. Helen's Pleasure. And Ken Dim trained her, and you drove her for the first part of her career. You won a South Australian Oaks, ran second in a Victorian Oaks to not a bad filly called Jane Ellen, who went on to do a few good things. She must have really put you on the map, in a sense, as a driver and a trainer and a person in harness racing.
Yeah, she was great. Like, she was a great mare to me, like, filly, I should say. Like, from day one, I think the first day I hobbled her, I thought to myself, how good is this horse? You didn't have to question yourself, didn't need to watch, it could just run. And yeah, no, she was very, very good to me, yes. I was probably a caretaker trainer for them horses. We used to work about 15 horses then, and I used to do the horses and everything, because, I was a care trainer sort of thing for that bloke. So, she was a very good mare to me. At first, well, I was unaware. You don't think much of it when you're driving them sort of horses.
Yeah.
Sort of just part of your day's work, really. But then when you look back, people say to you, oh, you drove Helen's Pleasure. Well, must have been a big thing.
How'd you get beat at Warrnambool that day? You got beat at Warrnambool. You got beat at Warrnambool in a race on her.
Warrnambool. Oh,
yeah,
probably got beat in a few races. I don't know. I don't know. Didn't even know she raced the Warrnambool there.
Yeah, in like a $200 race. Like, if you went back now and looked at it, which you can do, it seems she might have been second row on the tight track and you didn't get a chance. But yeah, anyway,
I don't know. Maybe it could have been a bad drive.
One race that stood out for me was 1996, New Year's Day at Hamilton, and I think it was your first Victorian winner on a horse called Limited Breeze when it won the Border Cup final.
Yeah, Limited Breeze, he was a nice horse. Well, a nice horse that never got to his full potential. He broke down. Great people that owned him. They're really good friends. Limited Breeze, Terry Glynn owned him, just passed away about 12 months ago, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He was a nice horse. I think he probably won about 7 or 8 races and out of probably 20 starts. It was sort of sad what happened to him. He sort of broke down really bad. So, it wasn't a good day that day. But anyway, you move on. But he was a nice horse to me. Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
I thought he might have been, because he just seemed like a level above the ones you trained in your name anyway at that stage. He was the one that got you going and won a few races in Victoria, which none of the others had.
Yeah, well, I didn't go to Victoria very much.
No, you didn't.
I didn't like travelling, but he was one I sort of used to go. Well, it was sort of lucky, because the owners used to take him to the races for me, and I'd just be a passenger. That was good. I don't like driving much.
So then it was 2005, I reckon. You've moved to Victoria, which you mentioned at the top. And where did you first set up at Ballarat? Did you have your own farm? Were you training at Greg Burns' place? Or what was the setup when you first moved?
Moved over here, trained at Greg Burns's for about, I don't know, probably 5 years, I suppose. I was at Greg's store. And then I bought my own property. I bought a couple of little properties, and then we bought a property at Mitchell Park, where we are currently at the moment.
So where's Mitchell Park in relation to Ballarat?
Just down the road from the Ballarat Airport, as anyone knows, just on the right in there on the outskirts of town, near the highway, basically the Ballarat Airport. You can't see our property there.
So we'll be close enough for the boys to subdivide it once you've gone.
I can. they're probably thinking that, but they wouldn't be. But Yeah, there's a bit of land there, but we'll see what happens down the track.
Now, one off the fake text machine. I got this fake text machine from a Mitch in America. Ask him about the time an owner brought his son out to watch the horses train. Dad hit the shed coming out the door and was dragged around in circles. The kid thought that's how you work them.
that was... They can't keep their mouths shut, these kids. I thought I taught them better than that, but I had an owner. He came out to have a look at his horse, and I unclipped the horse and I darted out the shed and I went in the cart and flipped the cart over and he was standing there hanging onto his one-year-old in his arms and it's doing circles and I'm getting dragged on the ground. They thought it was hilarious, but it wasn't hilarious. And
no.
Yeah, the horse never got away and no one got hurt and I was sort of really glad. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Who was the horse, do you remember?
I think it was Lavish Smile, I think. I think it was Lavish Smile, the horse of Bruce Edwards's.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bloke's name was Trent Brown. Trent and his son Harry, I think it was, his little son, yeah.
Yeah,
well, yeah, no, the kids still talk about that day. Trent's kids do, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was funny, but yeah, anyway.
Well, we can laugh about it now that no one was hurt or anything like that.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. No, Mitchell, now. Rightio.
So you come to Ballarat, you get a high cadence, was your first winner in 06 at Stawell, and Totally Oro was a horse you got from Tubbs's. I think you might have been in this with Damien Burns and seemed to really get you rolling in Victoria.
Yeah, High Cadence was another good mate of mine in South Australia and I said to him, I rang him up one day and said, I wouldn't mind having a go at that horse in Victoria.
Yeah.
She was a lot of problem horse. Sort of. And Chris Alford, I don't know how he won the race. He won the race at Stawell. I couldn't believe it. I think he beat one of Peter Tonkin's horses for $1.50 or something. Anyway, Chris won the race, and then Totally Oro got Totally Oro. I had Totally Oro earlier before she raced, and then she was sent down to Tubbs's.
Yep.
Because just Tubbs, he sort of knew what the big races were like, and yeah, how to train better horses, I suppose. And then after she come home for a spell, and then I took over. I think I might have took over when she was a 3-year-old. I think.
Yep.
She won. I don't even know how many races she won. Probably 10 races. I think. I don't know.
She.
She was a nice mare.
She won the mare's 4-year-old Vic Bred semi-final for you, and then she won an MO at 20-1. So you had some pretty good wins with her.
Yeah, well, yeah, Greg Sugars. It was his first listed race. I think he told me one day that it was the first listed race he'd ever won. So he's gone leaps and bounds since then. But yeah, no, she was a good little mare. She was a big mare. She was a good mare to me. Sort of kicked me on. Yeah, was very good.
I assume Greg didn't say anything in Alan Tubbs after winning that race as he was the former trainer of the horse.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't say that.
we could set up a little discussion in the Sugars residence there if we wanted to.
We could. We can do that. We can do anything. We can.
Another horse that interests me was All We've Need for a Jane Barker was the owner.
Yeah, that's my wife. It's one I bred. I bought a mare and I bred. Yeah, he was the first foal out of the mare, but he was a nice horse. So he sort of come along sort of when Totally Oro was sort of at the end of her tether, so it was sort of good. One left and sort of one come in, but he was potentially the best horse I'd ever had or had anything to do with.
Yeah.
Greg Sugars drove him, I think, his first couple of starts, and he said he's as good as any 2-year-old I've driven. And then he had an injury, a bone injury, and they told me that he would never race. And Ian Fulton, the vet, said to me, he said, we can try this new treatment on him. He said, it's very expensive. He said, oh, called IRAP. So then I said, he said, leave the horse here. He said, I won't charge her. He said, we'll experiment on him.
Hmm.
Anyway, so he said, think about it. So anyway, I went home and thought about it. And Ian rang me up the next day. He said, you better come into the clinic. So I went in the clinic into his office, and he showed me his bone was actually like ice cream. It was all sort of crumbly in his hock. Anyway, he said to me, we can try this. It might calcify everything up, he said, and see what happens anyway. So I said, yeah, go ahead with it. So we went ahead with it. Anyway, he said, give him 6 months in the paddock. So we give him 6 months. And he said, bring him back in. We'll have a look at him. And I rang him up. I said, do you want to have a look at that? I said, no, nah, don't want to look at him. He said, put him in work. He said, but don't trial him. Anyway, so got him in work. I give him 8-9 weeks work, and I rang him up, and he said, fast working, keep him going. Anyway, so we took him back in there, and he said to me, it's all calcified up, see how he goes. He said, but don't trial him. He said, just race him, because he probably only get one or two races out of him. He might break down.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I think he had 100 starts after. Ian Fulton still shakes his head and says to me, how did that horse ever do what he did? But He had a bad fall at Melton, and that was the end of him, basically. I think he might have won three or four after that, but he lost that will to win.
Yeah.
But before that, he had a lot of will to win. He was never... That was his whole trouble. He just wanted to win all the time. But I potentially thought he might have been Group 1 material, that one, before he got hurt, yes.
Well,
he nearly died. He nearly died when he fell. Yeah, he got an infection in his leg, and they thought that they might have had to put him down. So, but anyway, he come back and won a couple. So yeah, got two.
Yeah,
I
have actually got on my notes here to ask about the fall, because you can just tell looking at his career on the website that he certainly wasn't the same horse after the fall. So you've answered that before I got to it. And how was the mare? The mare had one win from about 37 starts at Mount Gambier, but she might have passed on how to get around a small track.
Yeah, well, she...
Shipped the brake.
I bought her. I liked her one day. She sat 3 deep at Mildura the whole way or something, and I liked her. Now, I rang up and I bought her, and I thought, well, geez, I think I could win a few races with this horse. But when I got her home, I didn't realise that she was such a cow of a horse. Like, she was a kicker, and she wouldn't try. And I think I might have won one race with her, and then I sort of thought, well, she's well-bred. She was very well-bred out of them.
She was sore the Greek.
What left Caramere Femur, I think, anyway, so... I thought, well, she'll do me as a mare to breed with, and then All We Need come along, and yeah, so that was, actually, I had one before that, I reckon, might have been All We Got. Yeah, it was.
She
broke down, kept breaking down. I think she might have only had half a dozen starts, and, but yeah, she kept breaking down on me, and then All We Need come along the next one, so yeah.
And
I think that was the last winner.
What was All We Need's fascination with Stall? Won its first four races at Stall and ended up having 9 starts there for 5 wins, and a last start ever was at Stall as well. It was like All We've Need had this little fascination with just going to Stall and winning.
I got no idea why he done at Stall in races was just cool horses couldn't do. He could come from last at Stall.
Yeah.
I got no idea why. He was just like, he'd sit parked, he could sit 3 deep, he just loved Stall. Like, I think he won the horse of the year there, and I think, did he win his last start ever?
No, he ran 5th at his last start ever, but his last race win was at Stall.
Oh, right, because I know his last win, a good friend of mine died, passed away that day. Yeah, because they phoned me up. That was his last win, the horse. But yeah, no, I got no idea. He just loved Stall. When he was down and out, he'd go to Stall and he'd run a big race. Yeah, don't know.
Yeah, his record was incredible at Stall compared to the rest of his career, if that makes sense. And he must have been he was a horse, obviously, you learn a lot with as well, because he took you on a different journey by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I did. He was sort of, John Murphy was a great help there, because he had the stallion.
Pass the mustard,
When I broke him in, Don said to me, because I was doing a bit of work out, shoeing horses out of Don's, and Don said to me one day, he said, I tell you one thing, Cal, he said, let All We Need do what he wants to do. He said, don't overrule him. Don't stand over him. He said, work him the way you want to. He said, but don't make him do it. He said, if you don't want to do it, try something else. He said, but don't punish him to do it. He said, because he said he won't try. And I always sort of let All We Need do what he wanted to do. Like, if he didn't want to work fast, I'd just take him out and pace work him over 3 miles. So he still got the work, but he didn't know, you know what I mean? Instead of running speed, yeah.
And he felt he had a win over you too at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. He said, let him think he's boss all the time. And I think the horse knew that too, that he was boss.
and owned by your wife. We won't go into that either.
No.
And the next horse, you're a bad boy that I've got on my notes, who came from Andrew Clark, who was... Now, for some reason, I thought you were related to Andrew in some way, shape or form, but maybe you just grew up with him in Mount Gambier, did you?
Nah, just... Known him for years, knew him for years, sort of thing. But and he sent a couple of horses over to me, and I think we might have won a few races with him. And then I think it was COVID time, might have been COVID time. And I rang him up and I said, you better send that one over to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sent him over to me, and he was a very good horse, very, very good horse. Sad to see the way he's going at the moment. Yeah, very sad.
He won. He won in South Australia, the SA Sires. I'm not sure, have they put a photo of you up at Globe Derby and said you're not allowed back? Because it seems like every time you've ever taken a horse there, it just wins from Helen's Pleasure right through.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, they might let me back in Santa Fe. But yeah, no, I had a very good run. Those the South Australian size or whatever you want to call the watch the pace or whatever it is. Yeah, I had a good run, a very good run, lucky run, I suppose.
Not many trotters across the journey, but at the moment you've got two trotters, and I love Sequence. I'm more of a Sequence person. I think we're going to see the best of Sequence. She's going to be a very nice mare, and she's gone out for a spell. She had just had no luck in races for some reason. It just seemed like she didn't get any luck. She ran a terrific fifth in the Derby, though.
Yeah, she's my favourite.
Yeah, me too.
Little bit of a cow, I think. Like she's a little bit like Horse I Had All We Need. Wants to race every day. Like you could go out there and work her. She'd work for an hour. She'd drop dead. She won't stop. She loves working, and she gets too keen. she's one of my little favourites. She's only a little tiny wee thing it is. Hmm. I've always had nice raps on that one. Sort of, I always think she's got more speed than Mercenary, and sort of, I think she's a bit tougher than Mercenary myself, but she's got to prove that yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a year older, Mercenary, and sort of a year ahead. And he floated along, I suppose. You know, he ran third in the Mary Legend at Stawell, and like ran in the Breeders' Crown Final as a two-year-old. He won the SA Sires. He ran 12th in the Sires over here, 10th in the three-year-old Breeders' Crown. He won the three-year-old Sires in South Australia, and he won the silver. He just sort of was always that level below our best ones here. But it's like he's taken the next step over the last few months. Well, it's not like it. He certainly has, hasn't he?
Well, he has. He always sort of had the ability, but I could never get him to trot. He would never trot properly. We could never trust him. Like, he just, for some reason, hang out or he'd do something to get out of racing. I don't know what it was. He just sort of had a lot of feet trouble with him, like hitting and stuff like that. And then, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I sort of spelled him and I brought him back. Actually, he won the silver at Bendigo, and then he went away, he got one good run out of him, he went backwards sort of thing, and then sort of give him another little break and just mucked around with a bit of shoeing and stuff, a bit of gear and that, and he sort of hasn't really put a foot wrong bar Mirabara when there was 3 false starts. Like, passing that, I don't think he's finished with it. Well, his first couple runs back, he ran 54th. I think he ran 4th at Bendigo and ran home at 56 something, and I'm thinking, how can this horse not win? But yeah, he's turned the corner now. He's going good. Like, I think someone said yesterday that he ran home in 66.8 at Horsham, outside him. So yeah, no, he's going good. Yeah, very happy with him. Yeah.
What's the plans with him going forward? Will you keep tackling the country cups, or you're thinking you just work your way through the grades? And how far can he go?
Yeah, well, he's going. I'll keep him in the country cups at this stage. So he's in at Charlton on Sunday, and then I might let him have a week off from racing. But yeah, because he's done a good job. But no, he's in the Charlton Cup, so that's a lot stronger field. But just going on times, he's got to be a chance, I think. Yeah.
Now, pardon my ignorance, there's only two boys, is there? Sam and Mitch?
Yeah, only Sam. Sam and Mitchell, yep.
Yep, Mitchell. He did send that text in. He's getting the full name, Mitchell. If you use his middle name, you'll know that he's in trouble. Now,
he does.
So they came along. I'm just trying to work it out. They must have been just babies when you moved to Ballarat, or just after born, were they? No, they would have been babies when you moved to Ballarat, I suppose.
No, they were both at primary school.
Yeah, Mitchell there you go.
Mitchell might have been 10.
Yep.
Yeah, Mitchell would have been about 10 and Sam would have been 6,
And so was part of that decision to come to Victoria for better opportunities because you could see the boys were starting to take a liking for the game and you wanted to give them a better start?
Mitchell never had a lot of interest in racing early days.
Yeah.
He was not a bad footballer. He got smashed up, like he ended up in a coma. Head injuries, and the doctors actually told him that the second time he'd been knocked out, he said, next time could be fatal. So he turned his hands and said, well, if I can't play footy, I might as well work horses. So he came aboard the horses the next day, basically. And Sam always had little ponies and sort of mucked around with the ponies a bit. But, yeah, they always sort of had a bit of interest. But I just thought the future, their future, football, sport, better in Victoria, yeah. Racing, Victoria.
What age was Mitchell when he was in the coma?
I think he was about 15. He was playing under 17, football, yeah. Like, I think he was leading goal kick-ups about the last five games. He's leading goal kicker for East Point with five games to go. Yeah, I think he missed out by goal or something because he couldn't play footy. He was knocked out, yeah. So he got flew. They flew him to Melbourne and that. So, yeah. But no, he's sort of all right now.
That time for you must have been really difficult for you and your wife with him in a coma. Like, that must have been very difficult.
Well, it was. It was very scary, put it that way. It was sort of, yeah. It was an induced coma. They put him in a induced coma.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should have probably said that because he had bleeding on the brain and that. And but no, the Ambos were absolutely brilliant. They even come back and seen him a couple of months later to the house. There was two ambulances took him to the airport to get on the chop, and the surgeons were there waiting when the chopper got to Melbourne straight away. They were absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And they operated basically straight away on him. Yeah, not very good.
Yeah, that puts everything else in perspective pretty quickly when things like that happen. And Sam's always been into the horses, as you said, and he's had a stint at driving, and we stir him up a bit about his driving. I don't know if you do, but he's really turned his hand to training now, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, I used to say to him, your future's training. If I drive all right, I said, that's your opinion. I still stir him up a little bit about it, but no, he drove all right, but don't do enough of it.
Yeah.
You got to be driving every day, all the time. So, yeah, but no, he's going all right. He's going good, actually, yeah.
And
very good.
Mitchell's over in America and getting a whole heap of experience, and it just feels like you could take the next step over the next 20 years, your boys and yourself, and train a lot of horses with a lot of, what would you call it, experiences under your belts as a team.
I don't know if I'll be training in 20 years. I'll be lucky to probably be here in 20 years at my age now, but yeah, I hope I am. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what Mitchell's plan. I don't think he's coming home in the near future. Did tell me if he ever come home, he would probably go to New South Wales or Queensland because he'd train juveniles. But yeah, whether what happens, I don't know. What he'll do, really. So, but yeah, don't know.
Well, Calvin, it's been a pleasure to go through a bit of your history all the way from Kel's Reward to Mercenary, and he'll be in the Charlton Cup on Sunday, and it's a great story and a background to a couple of very popular young people in the sport and yourself as well and the family. So thanks for joining us on Trot's Life and sharing your story.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Toby. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.